We have finally reached the week where we're going to talk about the fish today. So if you have your Bible with you, open up to Jonah chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 and reminding ourselves that before there was Jaws, before there was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, before Free Willy, before Finding Nemo, there was the greatest fish story ever told, the story of Jonah. That is our focus this morning. As I start to read, I'm going to start in Jonah 1 verse 17 because that was where we left off last week. That was the introduction of the fish that God sent, and we'll follow our way through 2:10 for our story today. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so excited that we finally got to the fish. We finally made it to the center of this story, what it's famous for. And I'm so thankful for the context that you've given us so far so we can understand that, yes, there is a great fish in this story, but the story is about so much more than just the fish. I pray that today as we unpack this process that you invited Jonah into, that brought about his prayer, a reversal of his perspective, that you would help us to learn from his experience. In these next few minutes, give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, this is what we all been waiting for, the fish. And the fact is, Jonah is known for this fish story, and I find it fascinating that chapter 1, verse 17, that where we left last week, where we picked it up this week, don't you find it fascinating? It's just such a simple description. And the Lord sent a fish, and Jonah was inside it 3 days and three nights. I mean, the author just says it like that's common sense. Says it like these kinds of news clips come up all the time. Says it like we should all know what that's like. We can remember back to the last time it happened to us. Even watching this brief clip, you can see all of the energy and excitement that both the son who was swallowed and also the father experienced in that moment. And yet our biblical text just says very simply, God sent a fish and Jonah was inside it 3 days and three nights. And that's because the significance of what took place when the fish was sent had less to do with the fact that it happened and much more to do with what happened to Jonah in the midst of it. That's what we're going to unpack during the course of today. Why would God send a fish in the first place? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, he did calm the storm. He could have just provided a small rowboat or a piece of driftwood for Jonah to grab onto. He could have been rescued again by the sailors and brought on board, but instead comes the fish. But because we know it's more than just the fish, we might just ask, why not a fish? Clearly the fish was miraculous, but it was never meant to be the main point of the story. You have a hard time with the fish when you read this story, wondering whether or not it could be real? What about creation? What about resurrection? What about the transformation of a human heart? We are challenged by all kinds of miraculous work that God does in this world. In my mind, creating a fish big enough to swallow Jonah is the least of the miraculous things that God does all around us all the time. This fish may have been created just for Jonah. And the point is, the fish came for a God-ordained reason. That reason's plain. Before he would take a geographic journey to do what God had asked him to do, Jonah needed to take an inward spiritual journey. God wanted to save Jonah. God wanted to transform him, and then God wanted to recommission him. And it all took place in the belly of the fish. Jonah's transformation begins with a drowning of sorts, and then it's followed by a resurrection of sorts. The belly of this fish would have been tight, restrictive, confined. I don't even want to start imagining what it must have smelled like inside there. This was the opposite of what Jonah had been experiencing in his life on the open sea. He had fled from God, and there must have been a moment where he thought, I might have gotten away with this. I think God's going to let me go. Because here he is on deck, enjoying this beautiful sailing trip, and then he finds himself in a totally different situation. It's been pointed out that the belly was the unattractive opposite of Jonah's desires. And yet it was key to his transformation. The transformation that Jonah goes through, even in the course of these 10 verses, is what some theologians call the process of ascesis. The word's up there on the screen, ascesis. Ascesis is to the spiritual life what a training program is to an Olympic athlete. It's a regimented process designed to bring about transformation. Yet in this case, it's not of our physical bodies. It's a transformation of our souls. The word has the same root as asceticism, yet with an emphasis on adding the positive along with deprivation. We seldom volunteer for a process like ascesis, yet it's the means to Christian maturity. It's the means to truly drawing near to God. Ascesis immerses us in an environment that's beyond our strength. That's what the belly was for Jonah. It brought about a confinement that led him to a concentration on the state of his soul. To experience ascesis is to be placed by God in protective custody. And it's only there that our souls will be safe. It's only there that we're transformed. Now let's be honest, for you and me, our ascesis in this world will have nothing to do with the fish. I don't anticipate that any of you will be swallowed by a fish at any time in the future. That's not what we're doing here, but we're seeing the invitation that Jonah received to be transformed in his version of this ascesis, and it can cause us to look around into our own lives and realize we too experience this uninvited process that brings about a transformation inside of us. It's not a fish for us, but maybe it comes in the form of unemployment. Maybe it comes in the form of financial struggle, of disease, of divorce, of bereavement. These things that we would never sign up for, we would never want to experience. But when we find ourselves confined by those circumstances, we also find that our God is with us. We find that our God is within us, working with us, showing us more about ourselves and more about Him, and bringing about transformation through the unwelcome season of ascesis that comes. It was from his place of ascesis that Jonah offers a prayer of thanksgiving. And there are a couple amazing things about this. Let's be honest. First of all, it's just amazing he prays in the first place. Remember, this was the guy on board the ship that was breaking to pieces, and he was the only one who wouldn't pray. Everyone else was praying to their God, and he was not praying, even though he's this man of God, this prophet. And so it's remarkable that once he's inside the fish, he decides, you know, now's probably a good time for me to start praying. But the other remarkable part is he prays a prayer of thanksgiving. The way he prays is surprising. His prayer cites no less than 9 different psalms. It's been said of his prayer that not a word in Jonah's prayer is original. He simply pieced together all of these psalms to offer up this prayer, but that doesn't make his prayer any less authentic. It's actually incredibly genuine. Jonah has this scripture memorized. He has it internalized. in his soul. And so though he's in a place where he has no access to Scripture, these words of God come to his mind and they form themselves together to be the expression of his heart, a sign of his transformation. Look at the progression in Jonah's prayer. In verses 2 and 3, he's still on the surface of the water. In verses 4 and 5, he's begun to sink. And in verse 6, he finds himself on the ocean floor. He says he's at the roots of the mountain, all the way at the bottom of the sea. But then in verse 7, there's a reversal. And Jonah says, I remembered you. He mentions songs, he mentions sacrifice, and he ends his prayer with salvation comes from the Lord. Now, we're going to get to the end of this passage in a moment where he's back on dry land. Hold that for a second. He offers this salvation comes from the Lord conclusion while he's still inside the fish. I mean, he really technically hasn't been rescued yet. I mean, does he really know how it's going to turn out? Is he optimistic that some vomiting is coming up soon and he's going to be back on shore? Or is he going through a transformation that helps him to see that even the fish itself, even the process of ascesis, was a salvation that came from his God, something he needed, something he was able to welcome? I think he could see this. And it brought about salvation comes from the Lord. Now, there are two major forms of prayer that we find in the book of Psalms. There are prayers of lament, and there are prayers of thanksgiving. And almost all the time, prayers of lament and prayers of thanksgiving are tied to the circumstances of our lives. And so, when we're in distress, we pray a prayer of lament. And when we're in a state of well-being, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving. It's natural. That's our human nature. In this case, we expect a lament from Jonah. But instead, we hear a prayer of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. His prayer is at odds with his circumstances. And by praying in this way, he brings us a welcome reminder that circumstance alone does not dictate our prayers. Circumstance alone does not dictate our intimacy with God, our connection to God. Jonah's prayer was as big as his God. It wasn't confined to his circumstances. And our prayers and our relationship to God can be the same. So I've mentioned a few times that Jonah was transformed, but how do we know Jonah was transformed? At least at this point in the story, how do we know? Well, if you look at verse 10, you can see that Jonah is recommissioned by God. God commands the fish swims into shore, and literally in your Bible it says it vomits Jonah onto the shore. I can't even quite imagine what that must have looked like for someone sitting there on the beach that day to witness Jonah's recommissioning in the form of being vomited upon the sand. Here in the Presbyterian Church, we love doing things fancy, don't we? We love these ordination and installation services, and everything is decent and in order, and we have the responses and the robes and the music. Now Jonah vomited onto shore. There he is. That was his installation service. That was his ordination service on this occasion. And his call is reissued. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Here we get returned to the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 2, the call from God to Jonah. Now, there's an easy way and a hard way to do things. Jonah chose the hard way. He could have just said yes the first time. But now, God in his grace, God in his mercy is giving him another chance to do what he was originally asked to do. Now, the message today is called Jonah's Journey. He actually has a physical journey ahead of him. He's going to be traveling to Nineveh to engage the work God originally asked him to do. But even bigger was that journey that took place inside of him, that transformation. God reaching into his soul and bringing about something new, something revived, something passionate. Seeing that and experiencing what takes place in Jonah reminds me that every single one of us is in the same place. Yeah, we've got an outward journey. We've got things to do. We've got jobs to work. We've got school to attend. But there's an inner journey for each of us as well. calling that Jesus issues to us to engage in these kinds of transformative processes. Have you ever seen God's signs of unlikely grace in your world? Ways that he brings things about in surprising fashion. Have you ever been placed in a program of askesis, one you didn't sign up for, but one where you saw the evidence of your God's love? Perhaps this Lenten season is our chance to volunteer for God's program. We can spend our lives avoiding those difficult things because we don't want the pain, even if it brings about transformation. But when we experience the love of God and we see the invitation he has for our own transformation and redemption, we can also choose to volunteer. We can choose to surrender. We can choose to say to God, I'm a little nervous about this, but I invite your transformation. I invite your work within me. Show me what I need to know about you and about myself, and show me where I need to change. And at the same time, God, empower that change within me. I think Jonah inspires that in us if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Here we are in this Lenten season. It's the perfect time for it. A prayer of surrender to God that says, show me where you want to take me, God. So that's my prayer for you, that this week, as you soak a little bit more in this story, in this text, as you spend time reading through the questions that you have in your bulletin, conversing with one another, and conversing with God, that you'll be able to hold out your hands and offer that invitational prayer to God of surrender that leads to that inward journey of transformation. Please pray with me. Lord God, we desire transformation. We just don't always desire the means to transformation. It's inspiring to see Jonah and the process he moves through in his 3 days and three nights in the fish. We pray, God, that whatever form of askesis is appropriate to our own lives is what you will bring to each of us, so that all of the attention we spend in life on our nutrition, on our exercise, on our emotional health can also include a surrender and openness to what you want to do to transform our souls. Help us to learn from Jonah in this regard. Help us to be inspired by his experience. And God, meet us. Meet us in the midst of our own lives, whatever it is that you would like to do to transform us and draw us closer to you. We don't want to resist. We want to surrender, and we want to invite. Meet us in the midst of this inward journey. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.